Hello, this is Margaret Rappaport at Sixes and Sevens Multimedia. Welcome to our audience, and I'd like you today to meet Andrea Shaw Reed. Andrea and I today will talk to you about a perfect time of life. And it's a perfect time of life for civic activism, for community building, and the revitalization of towns and city areas in the United States. Andrea is particularly suited for this kind of adult activism, and she's going to tell us about her work. And she'll highlight some of the successes she's had in the Orleans Community Partnership. And on the outside, she'll hopefully motivate us with her ideas and her enthusiasm. Welcome, Andrea Shaw Reed.
Thank you, Margaret.
You're welcome. How did you happen to create or organize the Orleans Community Partnership?
The Orleans Community Partnership is a large group of people who many of us participated for a year before when the town organized work groups, asked for volunteers to follow up on the marketing study that was commissioned by the town. So much of this, all of the impetus for this creation came out of town leadership, specifically with the Planning Board and the Board of Selectmen. Work groups by the, I believe it was the Planning Board at the time, asked for volunteers. Dumb luck had some of us raise our hands. And we spent about a year meeting in lots of different groups organized around ideas like public safety, marketing, facilities, visioning, all kinds of ideas, and the work groups met and then gave a report, which was, I believe, delivered in the spring, in April, I don't remember what year, 2010 or 2011. Mm-hmm. And out of the work of these groups, the need for a third body that could take up where government left off and leverage interest and investment dollars to complete projects that really weren't the purview of government or that weren't only the purview of the business community, that where people needed to come together. So I was a volunteer on some of those committees and had the pure pleasure of meeting dynamic, visionary people like Steve Bornemeyer, Jim Junkins, Ken Tabor, Todd, many, many people came together during that time, and the OCP was born out of many of us working with town government, working together.
And generally, the people who were involved in participating in that committee work, generally they were people who were mature adults. They were not necessarily between 60 and 80, which is my favorite group of people, but they were people approaching that time of life.
Well, we have a skewed population anyway in Orleans, but the nice part about this, those work groups, were that they did involve active business owners as well as volunteers and retirees as well as working people. So I would say that the median age, it was younger than because there were business owners involved. Mm-hmm. And actually people of all different ages.
Right. Were there any people having a family, raising a family age group, or were they mostly people who were past that period?
Some of our younger business owners still have kids at home, but the people who had the time and a lot of the experience to lead the groups were of more mature age.
Right. Right.
And that was very, very important. The leadership that came to us from retirees who had done this professionally in other communities or served on boards that did it professionally was tremendous. And I right. don't think without their knowledge this could have happened. In fact, it hadn't happened in this community up to that point.
Right. It's the vitality that people pass the child rearing and past the establishing themselves professionally and occupationally, it's the vitality that's in this age group that's particularly transferable and inspirational. You know, we talk about revitalizing our society and we talk about revitalizing our own communities, and you really see that that comes from the hearts and minds and experience of mature adults. And I'm glad that was your experience.
Yeah, I would. Invention has no age limit. How's that?
Right, how's that? Why do you think, besides having the right people living in the same place at the right time and some identifiable goals, such as renewal and growth and establishing some connections among people that haven't been made before. Why Orleans? Orleans is a town, small town really, that has a year-round population of under 6,000. It grows dramatically in the summer to about 30,000. And it seemed to be a vibrant community, many churches, many cultural organizations. Why did this partnership have to come together?
That's a really good question and a complex one. Mm-hmm. Orleans had the foresight to hire a town manager many years ago. I'm sorry, a town planner. There are not many towns this size that engage the skill set of a town planner. And I think that gives Orleans an extreme leg up. I know when I was looking to move here 16 years ago, the fact that there was a town planner was a significant part in our decision to relocate to Orleans. So there's an investment in the future in a town that hires a town planner. But the other thing that came together was that people had been working in their, to borrow a phrase from Steve Bornemeyer, in their silos. The chamber had been working in its silo, the cultural council, the town government, and in our silos, we weren't able to do as much as if we joined hands and said, here are the common challenges and here are some solutions that we can provide if we hold hands as we go. And that is critical. So we have common issues like wastewater. We have common issues like maintaining and attracting young families, young professionals. Orleans to a visitor is a very different town than it is to a year-rounder. Yes. Orleans to a retired person on a fixed income may be a very different town to a 21-year-old with or without a college education.
I see. So the goal wasn't just to come together to make a kind of retirement age Disneyland.
No.
It really was to renew the town and to spread throughout the town and throughout the various constituencies and age groups this sense of vitality and good life.
Yes, you could say that, but there were some hard numbers and the virtual world and with
Did
creativity.
Did you say virtual?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. A virtual world and the creativity and flexibility of at home, potentially at home occupations or some other kind of connection. The metaphor I love to use is the library, because just as we used to go and find information from books and we needed to keep the books in one place, our library, which functions as a community center as well as anything else, is as used as a place for people to come together. Since many of us don't rely on printed books exclusively anymore to get information.
I see.
So,
Andrea, for our listeners, can you distinguish a town planner from a town manager?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's the same way in that you would have a financial planner rather than a bookkeeper. There's the person who writes the checks and pays the bills and makes sure the accounts are in order. And then there's the person who says, you know, we've got to put away money for a leaky roof, or we've got to have new infrastructure, or we've got to deal with the fact that our housing stock is changing over, or we haven't had, or is the population staying stable, or what businesses have closed and what businesses have opened. So really, in the ability for a town to forecast and look at both infrastructure and who's living here and what resources do they need, and advise the Board of Selectmen, frankly. And we have a responsibility to the state of Massachusetts, which also provides funding for us in that regard.
I see. And you've enjoyed here in Orleans working with a pretty wide-ranging group of government people. I mean, this is a little town that has many committees mm-hmm. related to the Board of Selectmen, and it's also subordinate in some ways to a regional government.
The county, we respond to the county, and then we have state things that we have to take care of and tuck in.
So does Orleans Community Partnership attempt to interface at the regional or county level and also at the state level?
That's a great question. So when it's appropriate, for instance, here's one of those beautiful examples. When we became a cultural district, Orleans is a cultural district, in order to serve for the state of Massachusetts, we have to have, the town needs a fiscal agent, somebody to manage the affairs of the cultural district, and it can't be the town. So the OCP is the agent for the administration of the cultural district. So in that purview, we work at times, the town planner deals with what has to be done, but if his plate is very busy or it's not appropriate to his job description, the OCP will take care of the tasks involved. So it works out, again, this idea of leveraging or working together to have something that is benefits the public good is extremely important.
Have you found a challenge in getting people to understand what OCP can do for the town or what it is doing for the town?
Well, we like to stay in the background because the OCP at its best is only helping other organizations realize their mission and maybe have connections that enable them to make that next step. So the OCP, as we say, is a horizontal organization.
Right.
And if we're doing our job, everybody else is flourishing.
I see. And so the Orleans Community Partnership sees itself as kind of heavy lifting in areas that need some heavy lifting and a light touch where things just need a flow.
And sometimes there are other organizations who have been around much longer than we have and already know how to do what needs to be done, but maybe they don't realize they're needed at the table. And so that's the other part of what we do.
So that you bring people to collaborate.
Yeah.
And work together where it's good for everybody.
Because think about it, the OCP is maybe just 2 years old. And what we bring, back to your point about experience and life experience and some expertise, is potentially a different way of looking at a problem, and potentially in conversation finding solutions among people sitting down and brainstorming together, as opposed to we've always done it one way, and so no wonder we're getting this response.
We'll be right back here at Sixes and Sevens. I'm Margaret Rappaport, talking today to Andrea Shaw Reed about what has become an all-consuming part of her life, I think, from the descriptions, the Orleans Community Partnership. Please stay with us. Hello again to our listeners. This is Margaret Rappaport at Sixes and Sevens Multimedia. And I'm glad you can join us. I'm talking to Andrea Shaw Reed about the Orleans Community Partnership, and I'm fortunate to be involved in that activity myself, and also fortunate that I live in a place that more and more is beloved by all of us who live here. And this is not a commercial for visiting Orleans, Massachusetts, but if it were, I think Andrea and I would both agree it's a marvelous place to be. And so Andrea and I are going to discuss a little bit about why it's so wonderful to be here and to live here. The quality of life is improving every day, and it was never bad to begin with. Welcome, Andrea, again.
Thank you.
The idea, and you mentioned it when we were talking earlier, of a cultural campus, and that Orleans has been designated by the state of Massachusetts as a cultural district. What exactly would attract people to Orleans and keep people happy here in Orleans if we know that we have a cultural campus and we are a cultural district? What is that?
So a couple of really important ways of thinking about this. We are a cultural district by name, but we need to build, I think of us as a new university. So we're not there yet. We have the marvelous history of incredible programming, for instance, by Snow Library and Friends of Snow Library, with lifetime learning and various music and cultural activities that go on in the Crane Gallery and actually outside year-round. We have galleries. We have people making art around us. But we have some infrastructure that needs attention. We have some derelict commercial properties. We don't yet have our movie theater back. We don't have a place to see a play right downtown. And we have some incredible cultural assets, both in town and just out of town. So we're not quite a walking nighttime place to hang out and hear some live jazz, or which many of us envision. If you think of the components of a vibrant campus, you would think about beautifully maintained paths that go to something where something's happening. And we've got part of that built, but not all of it yet. The other important principle is, I think, as a community, we agree that lifelong learning is paramount.
Oh, and I would underscore that. Yeah. Three lines.
Yes.
Under.
And so sometimes learning is a very active. You have to have an experience, whether it's sitting an aural experience listening to a lecture or taking a class or walking a labyrinth. The learning can take many, many forms. And so opening up how and where we do this, unlike some towns like Chatham that have a center commercial corridor, Orleans really is spread out. And we are a building where you might hear a lecture, or I'm sorry, a place where you could go hear a lecture in the Crane Gallery or the old firehouse, or in a meeting at the old jailhouse in their meeting room, lots of different places. So that's, the campus really is spread out, but unlike a campus, we don't really have a center place where people can easily live and walk to town. So we're in need of some kind of housing. Our retail could be better developed, and our independent retail in particular, so that we have local businesses, hopefully mentored and successful, owned by younger people so that they stay here, gives Orleans a tremendous advantage. So working on the idea of health and walking, we're finding partners, not just to build labyrinths, but multiple labyrinths, multiple gardens, multiple destinations, to tie the walking with biking and other forms of outdoor exercise. We're locating the partners and building on the goodwill of the shared dream. So initiatives, if you think about the cultural campus, the underlying thing about a cultural campus is that they're creative economy, meaning we talked about this a little earlier, what are the ways that economically this community is going to stay vibrant. Learning is one of them.
So walking and learning so far.
Well, the creative economy, which is something that is being recognized by the state of Massachusetts as having some real meaning. I was fortunate enough to be involved in a 3-year study when I was serving for the City of Cleveland on an advisory board. And we identified, there was a study done by the Gunn Foundation where we tracked sales for sports ticket sales. And Cleveland has all the major sports, football, basketball, baseball teams. And what we found out was looking at 3 years of sales that the museums, galleries, theaters, orchestras, dance companies brought in more money to the city of Cleveland than all the sports sales combined. It changed how the funding streams and tax incentives and how arts educational funding was done for the city of Cleveland. So Massachusetts is just beginning to make the strong, strong case that a vibrant arts and learning community enhances everything from real estate values to who lives, works, plays, and creates at home. And I have to say that the leadership of the Cape Cod Chamber and the Arts Foundation of Cape Cod has been instrumental with connecting the Cape with part of that larger advocacy piece.
I see.
There's something now called Cape Creative, which is part of Mass Creative, which is the advocacy arm for being aware of that kind of investment.
I see. So Orleans Community Partnership is essentially shifting in many ways, shifting the focus of the town, not to deny economic development, but shifting the focus toward learning and walkability and cultural activities.
So let's be real clear, Margaret. We're not saying that it's one thing.
Right.
We're a multiple perspective. So we take our mission very seriously, which is the cultural, environmental, and economic vitality of Orleans and its surrounding region. It's not ever going to be just one. We've got to sink or swim together, and we all affect each other. So as an example of that is right now, when we look at the kind of people who are doing incredible community service that enlivens the town, we have this wonderful three-legged stool in one particular area of the Orleans Cultural Council and the Orleans Chamber of Commerce and the OCP, who have taken volunteers from each of their organizations and leveraged their work to create we're working on a unified calendar now. We have the Orleans Chamber has established a community online calendar, and the Orleans Cultural Council is hosting and producing gallery events both in Town Hall and the Crane Gallery and the Old Firehouse like they've never done before.
Right.
So it's really people working together.
I guess that what's most intriguing to me, Andrea, is that it was often thought that one needed to go away to a much larger city to think about cultural offerings. And the great achievement of Orleans Community Partnership is to bring the economic, the environmental, and the cultural focus of people right here to this little town, because there's a tremendous amount of cultural activity, but also cultural potential right here in this tiny town.
I want to be very, very careful not to oversell or undersell. And so we have some world-class talent here, world-class talent, keeping low profiles. And we also have some homegrown, wonderful talent who just wants to be heard, literally just wants to be heard. And there's everything in between. So, for instance, we would love to be a satellite performance area for the Cape Cod Symphony. We're not quite there yet. But we have some chamber music that happens here that's incredible.
Yes.
So again, it just depends at what level you seek, and I think the cool thing about the Cape is that most of us come here connected to some arts making activity, and so at the level we want to do it, whether it's typing a novel on your laptop or painting in a studio or being in the audience of Cape Rep or the Academy or being on stage, you can do it.
Right. And you have the support of the business community for sharing this shift of focus.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a shift. I think it's just a widening.
A widening.
I don't think it's a shift, because we don't want to take our eyes off the prize that we need feet in the door to keep our business community vibrant. We need to tackle things like many, because they're local and family-owned businesses, getting, you know, even staffing something like evening hours is a challenge. If you,
yes.
I mean, we have some serious thinking to do about how we support our local businesses, serious thinking to do. And everything from zoning, and I say now as the planning board, we're looking at issues like signage and the idea that people need storage containers in town. They're, you know, I mean, what can we do to make our businesses vibrant that really support what they're trying to do for the town?
Right. Well, picking up a thread, you mentioned walking paths and making businesses accessible by walking, not just by driving and parking. And small towns like Hamburg, New York comes to mind, have just had remarkable success simply changing the focus from parking lots to walking paths.
Right.
And it now I would personally credit the people between 60 and 80 who have experienced themselves as having more time to walk as opposed to driving everywhere. And yet, I know that that idea has proved to catch on with businesses, and that it will, if it hasn't already, begun to catch on here in Orleans, Massachusetts. Walking is a secret. Desire and enjoyment of culture is another secret of vitality, any place, in an area of a city or in a small town. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a couple of moments with Andrea Shaw Reed, who's talking about the Orleans Community Partnership here at Sixes and Sevens Multimedia. Please stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Margaret Rappaport, talking with Andrea Reed today here at Sixes and Sevens Multimedia. It's a fascinating conversation we're having about an enterprise in the town of Orleans, Massachusetts, called the Orleans Community Partnership. And when we took a break here for a few minutes, Andrea was talking about something that really interests her. And Andrea, do you want to take up where you were?
Well, the idea that we have Orleans was laid out as a car-centric town. Transportation, you know, whether not really a pedestrian-centric town. And so along with it being a good idea for our health, and we can design some beautiful paths, the infrastructure has to support, makes it easy for us to get around, makes it safe for us to get around. So this came up way back in the work groups and ideas. Even last week when we had a meeting for the cultural campus, or envisioning the cultural campus, simple ideas that other communities have used where they've maybe closed down Main Street and had it been without cars, use trolleys, use pedicabs. There are all kinds of ways to support the goal of becoming more pedestrian friendly and allowing handicap accessible but still maybe not as car friendly a downtown area. So I just wanted to say that sometimes the good ideas need action behind them to create the infrastructure to make them happen.
Well, I happen to know that there's a good example of changing infrastructure here in Orleans and creating a true hub for the cultural campus. Can you talk a little bit about the old firehouse?
I would love to talk about that. So out of the work groups and out of the real investment by the leadership in this town, the Board of Selectmen and the Planning Department, came this partnership with the Cape Cod Commission that led to the development of an Orleans streetscape plan, which was approved by the Board of Selectmen, I believe, in 2012. The OCP is working to accomplish that plan with the town and the business community and residents to bring that plan to fruition. Huge number of volunteers, huge number of experts giving their time to help make this thing happen.
It would be important to note, when you say huge number, are you talking 100?
I would say easily, because there are people on various town boards, there are people who are contractors who are donating time and materials, there are architects and urban planners and the Orleans Improvement Association, the Chamber. There are lots of organizations involved with this. In the six projects that were laid out in the streetscape plan, the old firehouse wasn't even on the list. So part of the magic of all these people coming together is that opportunity raises its head, and you have enough people around who get the idea, the big picture, that you can assess whether an opportunity is worth potentially diverting or slowing down a little bit in order to embrace the opportunity for something bigger and better in a location. So the old firehouse was one of those opportunities, and I believe, I'm not sure if it started with Steve Bornemeyer, but he certainly has been the lightning rod for the recognition of the opportunity.
A true cheerleader.
Yes. We have a building that had been closed, literally closed, except for the presence of the Orleans Chamber in one part of it, because it was the annex or community center. And the town didn't have the resources to do the upkeep or keep the programming going there. When the feasibility study was done for the town, just in terms of, facilities maintenance study, there wasn't even a mention that it had been in the old firehouse in the work done on the building. So you take this kind of hidden treasure in the center of town and you rethink it. And suddenly, right next to the first project, which was known as the Cove Road Walkway, but again, another champion, Bonnie Snow, for the history of this town, recognized that the Teresa Cummings donated the property, and maybe it's an opportunity to honor our past. So we've been calling the Cove Road Walkway Teresa's Way in her honor. Mm-hmm. Things came together and said, wow, this building could be so much more. It's owned by the public and yet not being used for the public good. And we were very lucky to be assisted by the Community Preservation Committee to underwrite a feasibility study, which we're in now, and a historical survey study. So we know kind of what are the bones worth preserving culturally of the building. And we're in the process of envisioning what the building could be to serve the people of Orleans.
Yes. And it's amazing. There's been very little controversy over deciding to do this. And of course, coming from my perspective, I think it has to do with the fact that, one, so many volunteers are involved, but two, the character and the outlook of the volunteers themselves. Mm-hmm. One of the characteristics about people who are more mature adults is they don't waste as much time in controversy and confrontation and truly ego.
Can we talk about that for
a
minute?
Yes, let's talk about that.
Because I think, and now this is my educational background coming to the fore, I think that there are times in life that one can seize one's effectiveness or not. And I think one of the advantages of being over the age of 50 is that there's a greater comfort in one's own skin, a sense of one's where one's effectiveness or power is coming from. And some of us have had the advantage of being very accomplished in other places, and coming here don't need to prove that anymore.
Right, right. So that consensus happens, and there's an energy coming out of consensus.
And you don't need to get stuck. I think if we're of a certain age, you realize that you don't need to get stuck and you don't have anything to prove, and you're looking for how process drives outcome, and maybe less attached to the outcomes if you've paid attention to the process. And I think that's one of the joys of, for me personally, of working with the volunteers that I've been so fortunate to meet along the way in this thing.
And that spreads to the cooperation mm-hmm. among all the organizations mm-hmm. that are in this partnership. Mm-hmm. That the Orleans Community Partnership has focused many organizations not away from their own missions, but on the common mission.
What's been an interesting thing is that it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to partner somebody, to partner with anybody, if you are not sure of where you're coming from, as individuals or groups. So sometimes the OCP has been perceived potentially as wanting to take over something, but it's not our place or our mission to do that. And it asks the partnering organization to focus and clarify their mission in order so we can help fulfill it or provide the technical assistance if we have it. You know, we're a young organization. We don't have a lot of answers, and we sure don't have the infrastructure yet to match our appetite.
Right. What on that note, what are the current programs? What would you highlight for our audience as the vibrating programs in this partner, in this enterprise, and among the partners of this enterprise?
That goes at a couple of different levels. So we have short-term and long-term goals. Okay, so right now we have a website, you know, on the very short-term superficial. We have a website where you can go and find out what's going on in town. And we post everything. Everything, if it's free, open to the public, interesting, whether literally, and I've gotten a lot of pushback because we're learning as we go here, whether it's a showing of paintings or a wine and cheese or a concert, it doesn't matter. We post everything, whether it's an information setting or a dialogue or a lecture. So that's something that's really cool. We also have pages that have the highlights of the Orleans streetscape. The website is a big resource. We also do a newsletter, a weekly e-blast, so that you can have in one place what might be of interest coming up in the next couple of weeks, and certainly in the next week. But beyond that, we're working on bigger things, like we have goals for the town that Orleans becomes the center for live music in this part of the Cape. Again, capitalizing on the work of the music community that's already here, but may not be getting the recognition they deserve. And the music community that's here spans in age from, you know, school age up through master. I mean, so that's, again, anytime we can put generations together as audience or practitioners, it's a great thing. We have facilities here that the partnership would like to see engaged as part of the cultural district. So whether it's the Northwest Schoolhouse, which has just been incorporated and we may know as Oddfellows Hall, which is ready and willing to become something in town, or it's the old laundromat and site of the closed restaurants in town, We want to make sure that our buildings and facilities are hosting and vibrant and attracting people.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take another short break. And please stay with us. You're here at Sixes and Sevens Multimedia. I'm Margaret Rappaport, and I'm talking with Andrea Reed about the Orleans Community Partnership. We'll be right back. Welcome back to At Sixes and Sevens Multimedia. I'm Margaret Rappaport, talking today with Andrea Reed, who is a part of the engine that powers the Orleans Community Partnership. And we've been talking about some of the programs that the partnership is guiding in the last segment. And in this last part of the program, I've asked Andrea to think a little about her successes in the partnership, and what keeps her going. She's in a volunteer position. That doesn't mean it's not powerful. It is, but a volunteer position. And I think that those of you listening to our discussion might benefit from knowing what she thinks about what she's doing. Andrea? Why are you doing this?
Yeah. Many people, including my husband, would like to know. So one of the things that I think is very powerful, very, very powerful, is that finding one's level of effectiveness and using every resource and talent that you have and being challenged to keep growing that resource and talent. And so I, as a kid, was very interested in the arts, specifically making visual art and dance. And I'm always interested in how one sees things and how one is at times needs to be quiet and at times needs to speak. And I think at different stages in life, you have a different capacity to exercise those resources. So, like many people coming from major metropolitan areas to the Cape, I thought this would be a time to be, when we moved here, to pull back and do quiet things, contemplative things, paint, write, do other things. But this community is irresistible. Their invitations.
That's a good word.
to participate, to be effective, to join with other people in an idea that's bigger than oneself. And I think my volunteering with the OCP is no different than planting a tree that won't bear fruit in my lifetime. I think it's essential, and I think it's our civic responsibility. Because there are very few places in the world that are this beautiful where one person can be so effective and important to the community that they define is their community. And so I get tremendous pleasure. I feel like a racehorse who's been let out of the barn, out of being stabled for several years, to be engaged again in the kind of community building that this opportunity, and specifically the work groups and particular people in the work groups offered to asked to get involved, asked me to get involved.
Right. The wonderful notion, and it's not imaginative, the wonderful notion that the contributions you make approaching 60 or at 60 or approaching 70 or even approaching 80 just can grow and improve people's lives. To be involved in an enrichment exercise.
Well, there there are people in this community well into their 60s, 70s, or 80s that have life experience that we are in desperate need of in this community, who know how to cut through the noise, how to calm people down, and how to stay positively engaged, because ultimately, Margaret, at this stage in life, that's what some of us are making time for, positive engagement.
Yes.
And
yes.
We don't have the time or the interest or want to go to anything else. And we're old enough not to apologize for it anymore.
Right, right. You can do everything you need to do between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m.
Right. Right, that's right.
And it's so rewarding.
Yeah.
So wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also there is the desire for many of us who have confronted mortality or are staring at mortality, there is the question of if not now, when?
Right.
And that's very, 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 that's a good question. I wake up every day and I say, this is the best day, because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, and I have all of my powers right now.
Right. Well, you know, I have a vested interest in what you're saying, because here at Sixes and Sevens, we want to shine a light on our own personal enrichment, but the way we can enrich the groups we belong to,
right,
the communities we live in, the way that our skills allow us to connect, maybe in new ways, maybe in the same old ways, but to connect people with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And the underlying sense of all that is that people live longer, mm-hmm, and better and healthier if the connections are tight,
right,
and rewarding and so on. One of the reasons that I enjoy talking to someone who's as involved as you are is that truly to motivate others, to inspire others by what you do, is probably the greatest last gifts of life. And I know that you have children, I myself have children, and to see their parents not only enjoying life, we're not just enjoying life, we're actually growing life and actively growing in our relationships, in our communities. It's the most, I think, advantageous thing one can do for oneself, to just proceed.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note, what's coming up for Orleans Community Partnership that you're absolutely eager about?
Oh. We have, thank you. Good question. We have a breathtakingly, we're either crazy or it's going to be wonderful, partnership with the middle school. That's pretty exciting. It is called NO2O, and it's a wonderful example of this brainstorming business. Amy Heller, who is a member of the Orleans Cultural Council, this is her brainchild. Her husband, Bart Weissman, who's the major producer behind the Provincetown Jazz Festival, brought the idea. The Cultural Council got on board. The school district got on board. Dr. Maxine Minkoff at the Orleans Middle School, who has the beautiful auditorium with 650 seats, seized on the idea. So basically, and it extends the shoulder season of why people would come to the Cape, and connects Orleans with a sister city, New Orleans, that has a rich tradition.
Yay.
Of all kinds
Finally
of art making.
Yeah. A connection.
Yes. And so we're for all those reasons, and the Arts Foundation and the Cape Cod Chamber are helping us market it, we're growing a festival, and we mean festival. So it starts with the kernel of the Nauset Regional School District music curriculum. It starts with the music curriculum. It's kid-centric and connects the outside world back in, because, for instance, if jazz is the theme of the first year of the festival, we're looking at films that are set in New Orleans and have a music theme. We're looking for restaurants to jump on board with Creole food. We're looking for art galleries, products, anything. The festival will change year from year. It may be gospel or vocal, mm-hmm, or blues or rock. But it can keep changing with the interests of the music program, and it allows the public in for master classes and as audience for outside artists, guest artists coming into the community to play with local bands, musicians, artists.
It's interesting that all of your early life has come through this tunnel of civic activism, and one of the things you're looking forward to is an arts festival, and also connecting New Orleans with Orleans.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful, wonderful...
And none of it was my idea, and so I love it.
Well, that's another good point, isn't it, that as you enter the long phase of life, the long view phase of life, you find there are ideas all around you.
Oh, yeah.
And all you have to do is be alert and pull them in and have a group of people that you relate to, and all kinds of magic mm-hmm. happens. Mm-hmm. Well, Andrea, I thank you very much for this time with our listeners. I know that you've motivated some people out there to maybe look and listen more with more alertness to what's around them. We live in a wonderful country. There's a lot of energy here. But it hasn't traditionally bottled or brought together the energy of people between 60 and 80. And that's what we're all about. We're trying to mobilize this incredible resource. And it's not different from what you're doing right here in Orleans, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Congratulate you on this effort. It is a model for other people and for other places here in the United States. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you to our audience. Thanks for listening. I'm Margaret Rappaport at Sixes and Sevens Multimedia.